rather stern sound to the ears of the audience that he was speaking into as well. But I think it's easy for us to maybe miss the focus or the point of the parable by being focused on this harshness of sound. What Jesus describes is a world that God created, a context for people to dwell, in particular the Jewish people, but by extension all of us. And not just a kind of a barren land, but a land that was kind of a creation that's prepared, that's fruitful, that has what we need, a wine press and a tower, and the things that we need to sort of care for and live and even flourish in this created land. God set it up, gave it to these people, not to own or possess, it's not theirs, but to care for, to live in, to enjoy, to benefit from. And then in due time, when it was time for the season of fruit was ripe, the landowner, God, sends to his the tenants, to us, servants to receive the fruit. Now, God doesn't need any of us creation. He put us in this world, he put the Jews in their land, he put all of us in his creation. He doesn't need the grapes from our vineyard. But he created human beings to offer the world back to him. Because in this offering, he offered the world to us, not so that we can have it or own it or possess it as ours, but so that we can in turn offer it back to him. Almost with this fear that we wouldn't get it back, or that he would leave us in a kind of a famished and without the benefits and the fruit of our own labors, we want to hold on. So much hold on to the things that we now come to think of as ours that we're willing to destroy and kill those people that he sends to us. Maybe literally kill, but maybe kill or destroy with words, with condescension, with harsh sarcasm, whatever it might be. Maybe with seemingly compelling arguments or rational thought. But in whatever way, distancing ourselves, that's the real death, from those that God sends to us. So he sends more. The sense here is that God loves the people that he's placed there. And he wants them to be able to offer back to him the things that he's given them, because that's what it is to be a human person in the created in the image of God. To live in this sort of mutual offering. That's what we're doing in this service. God gave us everything that we have here. In particular, he gave us the wheat and the grapes that we to produce bread and wine from. And in this service, we're going to offer it to him. He's not going to take it and eat it. He's going to give it back to us. And this is exactly the image of the parable. He comes, he sends his servants so that they can have that opportunity for offering because he loves them. And they want it for themselves. So ultimately he sends his own son because he loves them. And they are so deluded in the parable that they think that if they kill the son, they'll have the inheritance. Well, look, they're just tenants. What, they're not going to get any inheritance. But you can see their mindset, because then they say, then it will be ours. Then it will really be ours. We'll really own it. If they won't own it, that's totally delusional. But it is the sense in which creation, the gifts of God, will be ours. I can have them, I can possess them, they're mine, they're nobody else's. All missing out on this sense of God's longing to give us, to grant us, to pour out his love to us. And that the real reception of that love comes in the offering it back to him who gave it to us. So this really is a parable about God's enduring and endless and tenacious love. far as it's a parable that reflects the situation at hand, at the time our Lord spoke it, that the Jewish leaders are rejecting our Lord. Even then, after our Lord was crucified, he rose from the dead, and he went back to the Jews, over 500 of them, and appeared to them. And he sent the Holy Spirit upon the Jewish people who were waiting for him in the upper room. And the church started in Jerusalem. God constantly coming forth to his people, constantly longing to embrace them, like a good shepherd going out to look for his sheep. After the section of the parable that we read, after the reading for today, there's a couple more verses that are relevant because it describes the, among other things, it describes the response. It says the chief priests and the Pharisees recognized that Jesus was telling this parable about them. So they knew where they were. They knew that they were we're not the servants of the landowner. We're not the landowner. We're not the servants of the landowner. We're not the son of the landowner. They ruled all those out. They knew that they were the tenants. And then it says that they wanted to seize Jesus, but they didn't because they were afraid of the multitude. They thought he was a prophet. So you can also see that this mentality of the tenants, of us, is that we're driven by fear. Fear of losing what it is that God's given us. Fear of being at odds with the people that we're supposed to be, have authority over or be somehow connected with in this world. And it's this fear that's expressed in this couple of verses after what we read in the Gospel account for today that illustrates so beautifully that the parable is really about love, because St. John will tell us in the epistle, perfect love casts out all fear. And precisely what the tenants of the vineyard were not able to do were to receive that love. They wouldn't let that perfect love enter. And so they continued to live in fear. They preferred fear over love, to protect their possessions, to protect their way of life. And we do the very same thing in so many ways. Maybe not having enough time for people. Maybe God sends someone to us who's a needy, who needs to be listened to, who needs a little bit of help or support in this world in some way. And that's God's servant sent to us. But we don't have time for them. God's gifts almost never look to us like what we would want, what we put on our Christmas list that we're asking for. But they are truly good gifts, even if we don't recognize them as that. Often, we get discouraged at the good gifts of God. It's been very striking to me in this last couple of weeks. I've recommended to two different people that they might want to read Elder Emilianus's Mystical Marriage. You might be familiar with the book. It's not about marriage the way you think of it. It's a commentary on the second century of St. Maximus's four centuries on love. And in that century on love, the second century on love, St. Maximus is very clear, pointed in saying that if we are distracted, it's an indication we don't love God. And he develops it in various ways, and Elder Millinos comments on this. And most all of us are profoundly aware of our distractedness. It's very hard to pray for a couple of moments without being distracted, thinking about this or that thing we want to accomplish, or what people have thought of us, or troubles in the world, or illnesses that we have, or whatever it might be. We're a very distracted being. Well, both people I recommended to came back and told me that they were kind of discouraged about the whole thing because they realized that they didn't love God. And I thought, well, how can you be discouraged? The whole point of St. Maximus and Elder Emilianos is that no matter how much we're distracted, God keeps loving us. That's the point. The point isn't about us. The point is about God loves us so much, He's going to keep giving us good gifts. He's not going to give up on us. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to place us in a community. He's going to give us opportunity time and time again. If our Heavenly Father knows how to give us good gifts, how much more does our Heavenly Father, Earthly Father knows how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give us good gifts? And we know, as parents, often the things that we do for our children when they're young are not received by the children as a good gift. But we know they need it. We know they need this instruction, this discipline, this time out, this endurance in a certain kind of way, this time to get out of the house. Nowadays, time to get away from the electronic devices. Go play in the dirt. But it's very hard for them to receive it. It was very hard for us when we were little children to receive it from our parents. And that's exactly how it is in our relationship to God. Very hard for us to receive the gifts that He wants to give us. And then that makes us just like the tenants. Maybe we go to church, maybe we say our prayers, maybe we do all kinds of pious things. But is our life lived within those boundaries of me choosing what counts as an invasion into my life, an invasion of God's love? How do I receive the interruptions, the unexpected events, the things that break my pattern, that fall outside of my control, the things that make me, the things that make us give up those things that we want to hold on to? This is what's crucial about this, and it's all done out of God's love. And then, finally, just to note, in the gospel that we heard, it is not Jesus who says to throw those wretched tenants out and let out the vineyard to another, two different tenants. He asks them, he asks the chief priests and the Pharisees that are with him. He said, well, what would the landowner do? And it's out of their mouth that they say, well, he would throw those wretches out and let it out to someone else. So they were their own judges. They were the one that declared judgment, proclaimed judgment on themselves. God came to love them, to embrace them, to receive from them the offering of the fruits of their labors in their very lives. But they preferred to own, possess, keep, and in that keep their distance from God. And that is the casting out. Even if we live in the vineyard, we've cast ourselves out of it. Because the vineyard is the place where God longs to dwell, not alone, but with us. So let us see this parable as this profound expression of God's enduring and relentless love for us, always coming for us as a good shepherd. And maybe we'd be willing to